ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय यदत्तु मतो ब्रह्मन् देहरम्भो शद्धातुभि यद्रिच्छया हितुन्हवा भवन्तो जानते यथा. We'll do the word for word. Yat. As it is, adattu mataha, without being materially constituted, Brahman, a learned Brahmana, deha, the material body, arambaha, the beginning of, asya, of the living being, Datubhi, by matter, yadrichchaya, without cause, accidental, hetunha, due to some cause, va, either, bhavantaha, your good self, Janate, as you may know it, yata, so you inform me.
So you inform me.
A learned Brahmana, the transcendental spirit soul is different from the material body. Does he acquire the body accidentally or by some cause? Will you kindly explain this, for it is known to you? Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Maharaj Parikshit, being a typical devotee, is not only satisfied by confirming the importance of hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam from the representative of Brahmaji by disciplic succession, but he is still more anxious to establish the philosophical basis of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is the science of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and as such, all questions that may arise in the mind of a serious student must be cleared by the statements of the authority. A person on the path of devotional service may inquire from his spiritual master all about the spiritual position of God and the living beings. From the Bhagavad Gita as well as from the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is known that qualitatively the Lord and the living beings are one. The living being in the conditioned state of material existence is subject to many transmigrations by continuous changing of the material body. But what are the causes of the material embodiment on the part and parcel of the Lord? Maharaj Parikshit inquires about this very important matter for the benefit of all classes of candidates on the path of self-realization and devotional service to the Lord. Indirectly, it is confirmed that the Supreme Being, the Lord, makes no such material change as the body. He is spiritually whole, with no difference between his body and soul, unlike the conditioned soul. The liberated beings who associate with the Lord in person are also exactly like the Lord. Only the conditioned souls awaiting liberation are subjected to change of bodies. How was the process first begun? In the process of devotional service, the first step is to take shelter of the spiritual master and then inquire from the spiritual master all about the process. This inquiry is essential for immunity to all kinds of offences on the path of devotional service. Even if one is fixed in devotional service like Maharaj Parikshit, he must still inquire from the realised spiritual master all about this. In other words, the spiritual master must also be well versed and learned so that he may be able to answer all these inquiries from the devotees. Thus, one who is not well versed in the authorized scriptures and not able to answer all such relevant inquiries should not pose as a spiritual master for the matter of material gain. It is illegal to become a spiritual master if one is unable to deliver the disciple. So, here Prigit Maharaj asks a question to Sukadeva Goswami, as he does throughout this chapter. Srila Prabhupada has, following the commentaries of the various acharyas, drawn out some very significant points that we can understand from this question. In the purport, Prabhupada says that even if one is fixed in devotional service, like Maharaj Prigit, he must still inquire from the realized spiritual master all about this. All about this means that, as Prabhupada mentions earlier, in the process of devotional service, the first step is to take shelter of the spiritual master and then inquire from the spiritual master all about the process. So Maharaj Parikya is inquiring about the process of devotional service. And here, it says also further back in the purport, but what are the causes of the material embodiment of the part and parcel of the Lord? Maharaj Parikya inquires about this very important matter for the benefit of all classes of candidates on the path of self-realization and devotional service to the Lord. So, there are, there are many persons who are trying to achieve self-realization, either coming to the platform of understanding they are a spirit soul or they're a spiritual by nature and not the material body. And then amongst those, very, very rare amongst those who have actually realized, have some realization, at least theoretically, that they're spiritual by nature, amongst those there are the rare devotees. Devotees, the life of a devotee is a very rare opportunity. But here, Prigit Maharaj is asking about this process by which the spirit soul is acquiring different material bodies. And this question is also relevant to devotees because, as it describes in the Bhagavad Gita, that in the fourth chapter, verse number 9, that one who understands Krishna in truth does not take birth again in the material world. That is a qualification. Others will take another material body. Including devotees who have not yet fully realized Krishna in truth. Therefore, we chant that verse every morning that one who is infested with the 10 offenses in the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, despite their endeavor to chant the whole in many, many lifetimes, they'll not get the love of Kodit, which is the ultimate goal of chanting. That love of God is the platform of understanding Krishna. When Srila Prabhupada was in Denver, he was saying that if we chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and we remain somewhat on the material platform, we're still infected by association, attachment to the modes of material nature, It's generally manifest that we're not free from the apparatus, you know, there's still some apparatus. He said, then we can chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra for 1,000 years, you know, and we'll, you know, well, 1,000 years, so that'd be at least 10 lifetimes. That's many, many births. You know, so he's talking about devotees. He's talking about devotees. He's talking about us. Especially devotees like me. But, so, therefore, you know, Prigit Maharaj is asking, you know, about not just the original cause, how a spirit soul, you know, is constantly transmigrating from one material body to another, forced to take another material body. But how this process is, you know, continued, even for those who are on the path of self-realization, even on the path of bhakti. Prabhupada says, he says, this inquiry is essential for immunity to all kinds of offences on the path of devotional service. So he says very specifically, this inquiry by Prigit Maharaj, if we don't understand properly what makes one take another material body, you know, for all classes of candidates, if they don't properly understand that, their immunity to being on the, you know, being materially affected, and therefore creating offences on the path of devotional service, that immunity is not there. At that. So. And Srila Prabhupada, is, you see in the commentary by the various acharyas, Vishwanath Chakrabarti, the core, also mentioning that, you know, for a devotee, of course, they're performing devotional service, which means that Bhakti Devi has appeared. Bhakti Devi has, you know, appeared to allow us to engage in the privileged devotional service, as we make that prayer to Tulasi Devi when we're trying to free ourselves from the various contaminations and apparatus. We pray that, you know, please bless me with this privilege of devotional service. So Bhakti Devi appears to give the privilege of devotional service. But if there are apparatus, her blessings are somewhat held back. So she is there for the devotees. It doesn't mean she's giving 100% blessings. It's just like, you know, a wealthy man may come giving charity. He may give, for some he may give a little, he may be inclined, and for others he may just be inclined more fully to give completely. But so, it's not that Bhakti Devi is not there, but just because one is performing devotional service doesn't necessarily mean that one has the full, you know, blessings of Bhakti Devi. She may hold back. Holding back means that, you know, that one who performs pure devotional service without any offences, one who has complete knowledge of the process of devotional service and is able to perform the process of devotional service without falling into the pitfalls, and therefore performing so nicely that Krishna will accept that devotional service, then the full blessings of Bhakti Devi are there. And of course, that's what it means in that verse, that one who understands Krishna in truth, you know, is that platform of devotional service, one who understands Krishna in truth, they become eligible to go back to Godhead. So, these, you know, here Prabhupada is talking about, you know, immunity to all kinds of offences. Now, those offences, they come because, as Prabhupada mentioned in that lecture in Denver, that there is association with the modes of material nature, and it is that association which can put us to some degree on the material platform, and to that degree we're on the material platform, we're doing our business, not Krishna's. You know? Whatever, you know, surrender means, you know, the Bhagavad Gita says, one who surrenders to Krishna. So when Arjuna surrendered, first he wanted to do his own business and not fight. But when he surrendered, he says, whatever Krishna's business was, he did that. That means he was off the material platform. When we associate the material energy, there's some material attachments. That material attachments means we have some business, Krishna has some business, and we have a little bit of business of our own in this material world. And of course, you know, then there's a conflict between us and God. and the other thing, of course, is that as we're not personally dealing with God in the sense, you know, that we deal with God through the spiritual master. You know, we don't directly say that, you know, oh yes, I'm personally dealing with God. I will sidestep his devotees and sidestep the guru. Prabhupada says that's impertinent. I think that's in the Nectar instruction. That, you know, the devotee always, that they serve the Supreme Lord through the devotee, through the, especially the pure devotee, the elevated devotee, one who is fit to represent the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they serve Krishna. So therefore, if we have a conflict with Krishna, then it will manifest as a conflict with the devotees, you know, that we have some slight different interest. And therefore, you know, there can be, you know, we see there, one of the 10 offences is to, against the holy name, is to maintain material attachments, even while chanting the holy name of the Lord. So that is an offence. That means that we're maintaining a separate interest from Krishna. So there's a conflict of interest. We're competing with Krishna. Which is a bit foolish, but that's what we do. If those material attachments are attachments to sinful life, then sometimes we can be committing offences. You know, committing sinful activities on the strength of the holy name. So it even becomes a more severe version of that offence. And sometimes if we're maintaining activities which the devotees or the guru tries to help us to, you know, the devotee or the guru may point out, and the Shastra points out that, you know, this is one of the weeds, these material attachments, these sinful activities, these are weeds that we should, you know, root out of the heart. But if we're very, very attached to these, you know, material weeds, we may then become angry or, you know, somehow, have some, you know, mood of opposition or you know, envy. Like this, you know, so towards the devotees, so you know, it can manifest like that, and then that becomes Vaishnava aparad. And then, of course, if that Vaishnava aparad happens to be the Shiksha Guru or the Diksha Gurus, it becomes Guru aparad. you know, because especially at the time of initiation, the devotees pray to Krishna, you know, they vow to Krishna that, you know, they will follow regulatory principles and chant the 16 rounds of the, you know, holy name nicely, without offence. Those 10 offences are always recited at the beginning of the initiation ceremony. It's understood there to be avoided. And you know, then if those attachments, material activities, mean that one does not follow the, you know, regulative principles and breaks the vows of the chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, then, you know, it becomes Guru Aparad and Krishna Aparad. So, like this, those material attachments, that association with the material energy, remaining attached to the material energy, ultimately will manifest as some form of Aparad on the path of devotional service. And, you know, what is being warned against here by Srila Prabhupada and by Parikit Maharaj in his question is that, you know, we should understand the process of devotional service so intelligently, seriously, that we can be sure that we will not take another birth again. We should understand the process that seriously, that intelligent. If we speculate on the process, then we will not be immune to all kinds of offences on the path of devotional service. And of course, then it means that we will take another birth. We will take another birth in this material world. No one wants to take another birth. Srila Prabhupada, you know, this is called Mrityu Loka. Taking another birth, first of all, means death. You know, hands up, everyone looking forward to death. Not a big show of hands. You know, death is, you know, it's a big one. You know, everything that we have, all our possessions, all our relationships, our body, everything is just smashed to pieces within a second. Death comes. And then, you know, the soul is forced out of the material body. And then we take shelter of another womb. Which, you know, can be you know, of course, for devotees, you know, practically the human form of life is guaranteed. You know, that is one benefit. But, you know, there's a danger, of course, you know, one may take birth in a wealthy family, or one may take birth in Brahmin family. But there's a great danger there because, you know, if we don't take seriously the opportunity we have, you know, even as a devotee with so many opportunities and facilities that we have now, you know, what's the chance of that we take a good birth, and, you know, what's the guarantee that we will take the next opportunity more seriously? You know, there's every chance. The best chance is to take the best way is to take this opportunity very seriously. And Krishna is very kind. Srila Prabhupada always says this, you know, if we have some desire to enjoy in this material world, Krishna is very kind. He'll give you that body. He'll give you a body, you know, and you can enjoy. If we have some desire to enjoy in this way or that way, you know. And it's interesting to see, you know, the lives of devotees, you know, where we take birth and the different, you know, and of course, you know, some, it says in the Nectar Devotion that unless one has performed devotional service in their previous life, you know, it's not possible really to take up devotional service. There's usually some, it may be even the smallest amount of a jhana secreti, but there's some, you know, especially if one has taken up devotional service seriously, you know, it's likely that they're continuing from a previous life. But, you know, whether, even one is very sincere, But a devotee can sometimes be very sincere but still leave their body, not because they've fallen down or become offensive, but just because they just, you know, have been a devotee just enough time to make a certain amount of progress. They leave their body, but they have to come back because they haven't completed the process, you know. Others may fall down because of, you know, fall away because of offences. You know, there's actually Bhujan Prabhu in unveiling his lotus feet. He describes this in relationship to the Daksha Yajna, that he says that there are five symptoms that result from aparads, especially Vaishnava aparad he's talking about. He's saying if these symptoms are present, it indicates that one has committed these offences in this life or in previous lives. He says what happens is there are Vaishnava aparad particularly results in five obstacles to pure devotional service. So one cannot achieve pure devotional service, which means, as Prabhupada points out often in his classes, you haven't fully understood Krishna properly, and therefore there's some hesitation to, you know, be one in desire, in, you know, in love with Krishna. And those five things, obstacles to pure devotional service that result from offences, are crookedness, faithlessness, attachment to things that destroy faith in the Lord, slackness in devotional service, and pride in being devotionally advanced. So I'm very familiar with all five of these. But Jiva Goswami, this is described in Unveiling His Lotus Feet by Bhujan Prabhu, that he quotes Jiva Goswami, that he gives an example of crookedness, because he's saying that Krishna will not actually accept the service of one who possesses the fold of crookedness. So what to speak of going back to Godhead, of course, you know, as Krishna's written. He explains that one may offer Krishna very, very valuable or, you know, exquisite offerings. The example is given of Duryodhana. When Krishna went to Yudhishthira's palace for a peace offering, Duryodhana made this sumptuous feast for Krishna. Krishna didn't accept it. He just laughed. He laughed at Duryodhana's attempt at diplomacy and crookedness, and he wouldn't eat it. And he preferred to eat with his devotee Vidura, even though Vidura only offered a meal of bananas. So, you know, this is a famous example, you know, actually, being quoted by Jiva Goswami, that, you know, Krishna showed his attitude that he's unwilling to accept the service from those possessing an offensive attitude to his devotees. Prabhupada gives another example, that when, you know, again, just if someone is not hungry, you know, you can prepare all sorts of foodstuffs, but there's no appetite to eat them. But when there's an appetite, you know, even the simplest food, you know, you'll be very, very satisfied to, you know, you'll greatly want to, you know, partake of that. So this bhakti, when it's executed without offence, especially Vaishnava aparad, Krishna has a great appetite. Practically, he's very enthusiastic to, you know, accept that offering. Again, sometimes one who does not have very good good quality bhakti may offer Krishna huge amounts of money. And again, you know, it's not, you know, Krishna is not necessarily attracted. But Prabhupada says you can actually purchase Krishna. You can actually buy Krishna. And he gives the example of Dhruva Maharaj, Bali Maharaj. That Bali Maharaj, he gave his wealth to Krishna in full surrender, even his own head. And by that, he actually purchased Krishna. He gave him everything, including his own self. And because of that Atmanivedanam, or self-surrender, which went along with his other charity, then Krishna, he purchased Krishna. Therefore, Krishna became his doorman. So Prabhupada says that, you know, you can actually, if that bhakti is there, you can, you know, and you're giving in charity to Krishna, with bhakti, you can actually purchase Krishna. That Krishna will accept that and give himself that. But it's not actually the quantity of money, but it's the fact that there's bhakti there. You know, Jagannath Das Babaji, one time, he was walking and someone gave him 1 rupee. He was being carried in his basket, and someone, as he passed someone, someone gave him 1 rupee. But he walked a fair distance, and then he said to his servant, "You take me back." And he took him back, and he gave that rupee back to that person. And you know, he wasn't satisfied with that person's you know, material attachment to his wealth. You know, the material attachment to the wealth was there, and he wasn't satisfied with that person's material attachment. The element of you know, bhakti, he wasn't satisfied, and he returned that, you know, 1 rupee. But at the same time, we see that the acharyas, you know, like Gaurakishore Das Babaji, someone gave him a few coins, and he kept that very carefully because, you know, he considered a nice donation which he would give to other Vaishnavas. So, anyway, these examples are there. But Duryodhana, you know, he's a very good example because, you know, he was apparently doing devotional service to Krishna by, you know, preparing sumptuous food. It looks the same as what devotees do. And, you know, there are many people in this world, of course, you know, here in ISKCON, they're all proper devotees, you know, being trained up in Krishna consciousness. But there are many people sort of loosely associated, or, you know, with more Hindu traditions rather than, you know, coming the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who also consider themselves Vaishnavas, but the element of bhakti is not really there. They consider that they don't understand Krishna. They may think that Krishna is equal to the various demigods, you know, Ganesh and sun god and Durga and you know, Shiva. They think that you know, Vishnu, Krishna, is equal. When they make an offering to Krishna or Vishnu, they do not distinguish that that is any different from offering to any of the demigods, because they consider Krishna to be impersonal. So there's no question of bhakti when we do not even consider God a person. So this, you know, material concept, which may be there towards Krishna, we may understand Krishna in a material way, and that that understanding Krishna in a material way will be there to the extent that one cannot perform pure devotional service. To the degree that a devotee comes to the level of devotional service, to that degree they can understand Krishna. In many places in the Gita, Krishna says that only by this pure devotional service, Arjuna, am I to be understood as I am. You know, there is no other way. And so that understanding of Krishna, knowing Krishna in truth, it progresses as one progresses in devotional service. Progressing in devotional service means that one is performing devotional service very, very seriously. Seriously means a devotee is performing, Prabhupada says we should perform devotional service seriously and lovingly. Seriously means that we are determined that in this lifetime I will become 100% detached, without a pinch left in the heart, no attachment from anything in the material world. That's, you know, and therefore I'll not take birth again. And that, there's no reason for me to take birth according to just because of some material attachments. A devotee may be happy to take birth again to serve Krishna, but they're not inclined to take birth again because they're forced to, because they cannot develop that love for Krishna. That is a different thing. If Krishna wants, the devotee will, you know, come and do some service at that. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that, you know, nādhanam nājanam nāsantam kāpitāṁ bādhā gīrīśnāri kamahe māma jānvini jānvini śrīdhe bhavatāt bhaktiya haiti gītvāyī. You know, birth after birth, all I want is pure devotional service. In a birth after birth, they just want to remain a humble servant, a speck of dust at the lotus feet of the Lord. So they're prepared to take birth if it means, yes, if Krishna wants me to come here and do some service, yes. But they're not coming back because they have material desires that I want to come back and compete with Krishna. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying, birth after birth, I will come back to perform pure devotional service. But birth after birth, I'm not coming back to compete with you, to imitate God and that. That seriousness, a devotee should perform a devotional service with that seriousness, that this will be my last birth. And Prabhupada says one should perform devotional service seriously and lovingly. Lovingly means, of course, that if we have that seriousness and we follow the process of devotional service, then that love and devotion, and pure love and devotion, will manifest. Because it's there within the heart, it's there within the soul. That pure love of Godhead is there within every, it's not something that is, you know, taken from other source. It's not artificially, you know, created. It is eternally there within. As soon as one follows the process properly, that propensity to love the Supreme Personality of Godhead purely, without any motivation, it just naturally flows from the heart. You know, once the contaminations, you know, the covering is removed from the heart, then that the pure spirit soul in the association of devotees will naturally lovingly serve Krishna like that. But that love will not properly manifest, you know, if while you know, associating with the material energies in a haphazard way. So, you know, therefore, in the, you know, when we study the Bhakti by Bhava on this section, the Mayapur Institute, they give this quote, a letter from, Srimad Bhagavatam, It's part of Srila Prabhupada's lecture on this verse. And he says this, that you know, it's relating to, you know, why anyone, whether they be a materialist or, you know, an aspiring transcendentalist, why they take birth again. It's based upon this principle. Big professors, big scientists, they're putting forth the theories that life has come from chemicals, chemical evolution, and they're getting Nobel Prize. And if they are offered that, take these chemicals, produce a life, they'll deny. So this ignorance is going on. Therefore, for future guidance, Parikshit Maharaj inquired this question, that how the living entity got this body, material body, whether it is automatically without any cause or with the cause, but with cause. So there's some little breaks in the sentence. It will be explained. When the cause is there, just like if you infect some disease, automatically you suffer from the disease. It will come automatically. That is automatically. But you're becoming infected, that is the cause. So if you become cautious not to be infected, then the cause of lower birth or suffering you can avoid. Therefore we have started this society. Society means that you'll get here the cause of being elevated. So Srila Prabhupada is pointing out that, you know, it's the same cause for everyone, why we will take another material body or not. And that is, if we associate with the material energy, we will become infected by material qualities, material desires, material attractions, material attachments. We will become infected. And that disease, that material disease, manifest as our next material body. Now, therefore, it's automatic. The living entity takes a material body automatically in this sense. That once the infection of a disease is there, automatically the disease will affect. You know? So we can say automatic, but still there's a cause that one, you know, became infected. Now, devotees in ISKCON are, you know, generally in the mood of preaching Krishna consciousness, and therefore devotees associate, just like, you know, we do weddings and we do, you know, yoga and outreach and, the rock concerts, distributing prasadam. You know, preaching, getting out on the streets, you know, devotees marry, you know, a husband and wife, they live male and female. You know, there are so many activities by which there is the possibility, if one is not cautious, that one can be affected by material qualities. But to preach Krishna consciousness, one, as Prabhupada says, one has to know how to catch the fish without getting wet. And he gives the example of the doctor. So Mahatma will know that you'll see doctors that they will go into, you know, they will work in all sorts of very infectious, you know, places where there are very dangerous, fatal diseases. But they know the art of not becoming infected. You know, that is, you know, one of the first principles of a doctor. How not to become infected. You're treating so many patients. How not to become infected. You do not become a patient yourself. You know, that is part. It's not just, oh, I know how to treat. But as soon as you become infected, and then, you know, everything can be finished. Similarly, a preacher means, the devotee must always acquire this, you know, ability to avoid becoming infected by associating with the modes of material nature. Because if that infection is allowed to grow, you know, usually the best time to treat an illness is in the very first signs. You catch it, within a few seconds. Oh, there's something wrong here. You know, what do I do? You know, just like one time I was in Mayapur, we were sitting with Jayapataka Maharaj, and George Harrison was there, and I was serving prasad to some of the gurus, to Mal Krishna Maharaj, and Jayapataka Maharaj was eating something, and then someone had brought him a drink, and he drank that drink, and what happened is he yelled out, quick, get me ginger, because they'd made the drink so cold that he immediately felt that this is going to put out the fire digestion, and then of course all your food turns into mucus and what have you, and you get ill. And he, within a very short time, they brought him some ginger and what have you. He ate that ginger, like that, to reignite the fire. As soon as there's some Chanakya Pandit says there are three things, and Prabhupada quotes this, that should be extinguished immediately: debt, disease, and fire. Just like if there's a little fire in the room, a little fire, I'll get to that later, You put it out straight away. But disease and debt, they will burn, they will destroy everything in the same way fire does. And similarly, if we become infected with the modes of material nature as preachers or as devotees, as soon as there is some infection, we should remove it immediately. Not wait 10 years. Sometimes that happens. Devotees, after 20 years, I'm a living example, the same material infection is there. They're not bothered to remove it. And then it becomes, when I was on the farm, we used to have the gum trees would grow under the power lines, which is very dangerous, And for many years they'd let them go. And one day the CFA said, you have to remove them, otherwise, you get big fine, thousands of dollars. If the fire comes through here, everything will be destroyed. So then it was so difficult, I had to, remove all those trees, and then I had to, remove all the dead from the ground and clear it and everything. And because where we planted those blue gums, we had to light big fires, some of them as big as this room, and burn off all the rubbish. But then what I used to do is I used to walk along there, and when the trees were this big, a couple of inches, I'd take them out. But you try to take out the same tree in even 6 to 8 months, then you need a massive amount of energy. And after 1 year, practically you need a tractor. You can get them out. They become so hard. The roots get right in, and that's what it's like in the heart. The material infection. The material association. We don't get them out by the little weeds. We wait 10, 20 years, or even a couple of years. You can't get them out. It will take the next lifetime, maybe the next 10. As Prabhupada says, maybe take 1,000 years, you may have to chant. So, therefore, Prabhupada gives a process. Now, how do we recognize these weeds are there? That's what, Jiva Goswami was saying. If there's some crookedness that we're not actually serving Krishna for his pleasure, but we're actually doing all sorts of things, including, Vaishnava aparad, which is totally, abhorrent to Krishna. And at the same time, we make a pretense of, offering, We serve Krishna nicely on the deities, and then we come off the altar and we harm other living entities. In the Panchapradipa, what to speak of Vaishnava aparad, if you worship the deities and you show violence to any living entity, the deities don't like to accept your service. What to speak of, Vaishnava aparad? And that's in the deity manual, it's in the handbook, deity. That crookedness, faithlessness, attachment to things that destroy faith in the Lord, slackness in devotional service, pride in being devotionally advanced. If these things are there, it means that we have committed offences in this life or in previous lives. You know, they're manifest, and therefore we should try to see that you know, this is a result of some material attachment. And so Prabhupada gives the formula, the process. Haribol. We chant 16 nice rounds with attention. Because as described by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, inattentiveness in chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, hey Prabhu, look at that beautiful bird. Hare Krishna, 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 Krishna. You know, spacing out. But, you know, chanting 16 attentive rounds, avoiding the 10 offences, and following the morning and evening program. Prabhupada calls it the ISKCON sandwich. This is Prabhupada's process. That we've slept for 6 hours, or you know, some 10 hours, 12 hours, but we've slept, we get up, and we do the Mangalati, and pray to the Guru. And Prabhupada says, we should pray to the deities. We should pray to the deities that we do, that we. He gives us intelligence not to become prey to the pitfalls of Maya. In that same class I was quoting from Denver, like that. You should pray to the deities. And when you're chanting Hare Krishna also, it's like that mood. And then we chant 16 nice rounds in the association devotees, do Guru Puja, hear the Srimad Bhagavatam daily, during the day. So that's the bread on the bottom of the ISKCON sandwich. In the middle, the preaching and our devotional activities. It's all preaching. If the devotees are worshipping the deities, if they're cooking nice prasadam, you know, all to attract people to become Krishna conscious, they're all preaching if they're in that mood. And then at the end of the day, because there's so much association with the material energy, what is not often done these days? There's one big thing I see a difference between when I joined, which was every day, and now, is that the top slice of bread doesn't go on. And that is that after a day of, you know, our activities where we've picked up some material contamination, we again purify the consciousness, whatever is, you know, little anomalies, you know, have come into our consciousness. How is that? You know, because the Brahmins will chant their Gayatri, they associate, you know, they'll hear some Bhagavad Gita, they'll go to Gaura Adi, they'll have some prasadam, like this, and then everything. And that is a bit. If we don't purify at the beginning, then we can go through the day with some little contamination of Maya because we haven't properly purified in the morning. And if we don't purify at night, then, you know, things build up over some days, you know, because we're allowing things to remain, you know, too long. So that is Prabhupada's ISKCON, it's a very, very powerful process. If we, one should inquire, Parikit Maharaj is saying, you should inquire. And of course, Srila Prabhupada has given that process, made it very, very simple, very, very easy. One should inquire about all the different means by which one can follow that process that Prabhupada has given, whether as a grihastha, because one, you know, can perform, you know, morning and evening program in one's own home, and one can preach within one's own neighbourhood, and you know, and also, you know, associate with the temple devotees as far as possible, and one can chant Hare Krishna 16 rounds anywhere, you know, but always trying to keep as much association. One can do that in any ashram of life, but Prabhupada has given us that process, and our inquiries are that how I can follow that process properly, you know, and we inquire from devotees. You know, inquiry means that we're willing to hear that a devotee or the guru may say, or the shastra may say, or even the super soul, you're not doing things properly. Let's take the Vaishnava apparatus out. Let's take this part out. Then you're doing it properly. What to speak of being in the mood to inquire very seriously? If the serious is not there, one doesn't tend to want to inquire. You know, it's like, oh, I'm doing something wrong. You know, I read something about I shouldn't be doing this, but I don't want to ask too much in case someone says I have to give it up. You know, what to speak of. You know, a devotee notices that another devotee is doing something which is not correct and offers it, even without inquiry. Oh, look, I didn't ask. I'm not asking you any questions. I have other people I ask. So, Prickett Maharaj is giving this, be very serious to inquire, because if you do, if you follow the process, it will work. Prabhupada said, you chant 16 nice rounds, you follow the regular principles, you remain in ISKCON, but there's one life you'll go back to Godhead, that's guaranteed. So the process worked. It comes with a guarantee. And, we should ask, am I doing this process? Is this the process? Am I doing it properly? And if we do, we'll go back to Godhead. If we invent something else, that's crookedness, faithlessness, pride, I'm so advanced, I can get away with a little bit of mine. So many different things. Then we will take another birth. Even as a devotee. And we want to avoid that, believe me. So I'll just leave it there if anyone has any questions or comments. That's a good question. That's a good question. I'll just repeat that. Yeah, that sometimes in the name of doing something, offering something, utilizing something in Krishna consciousness, we're actually just maintaining a material attachment. Prabhupada, he makes a statement on this. He says, actually, we hear this dovetailing everything in Krishna consciousness. He says, a young devotee, a neophyte, cannot do that. There's no question of a neophyte dovetailing in Krishna consciousness. There's no question. Prabhupada says that. That's not their prerogative to say, oh, I'm dovetailing this, I'm dovetailing that. Because they have so many attachments, they cannot even perceive, where the attachments are and where they're not. Dovetailing means that senior devotees and guru and shastra will guide one how to utilize one's propensities and attachments and conditionings, plus the desire to serve Krishna, roll them up and dovetail them so it's actually beneficial. Dovetailing means that it's actually coming down from the authorities. It's not coming up, that anyone comes into the temple and says, yeah, I'm going to do a bit of dovetailing. I used to be a boxer. I think I'll practice on that guy over there. Whatever. There's a place. When I was in New Zealand, there was a skinhead. He had the Charles Manson cross on his forehead. But he used to live on the farm. And then, he was sort of a devotee, but he was trying to become a devotee. But he really did his own thing. But he's quite a violent person. Anyway, one time we were at Ratha Yatra, and we'd brought Jagannath Balaram Subhadra to the city square in Auckland, and we were, one of the devotees, temple president, started talking to the crowd. A huge crowd had assembled, and many very critical, envious person started, saying really nasty things about the devotee, about the Lord. And this friend of mine, he was standing next to me, and there was a group that were next to him, and he had those big Doc Martens, you know, with the and the steel cap and what have you, and he went crunch, you know, on someone's foot, you know, which probably broke a couple of toes. But, you know, in his mind, he was dovetailing, but, you know, I did mention to him, it's probably not quite our process, you know. Maybe you could offer them a little bit of Bhushalam or, you know, something a little bit more subtle like that, you know. But, you know, dovetailing, you know, that's sort of a Hanuman that, you know, we'll leave that to Hanuman, dovetailing his anger. But, yeah, so it's a good question. Dovetailing is not the prerogative of the neophytes. It's actually something one is guided in doing. But it's a huge misconception. How many people you know, the young devotees, oh, I'm dovetailing this, dovetailing that. Did anyone, you know, what sort of guidance you had on that? No. You know, my mind. That's about it. Mm. Any other questions? Yeah, probably.
You were saying about
Yes.
Yes.
That's right. And, you know, what we're removing from the heart, we've got to make sure we get it from the roots, because sometimes the process of bhakti, if we perform bhakti properly, it will actually remove the root. In other words, instead of having some hidden desire, which is sort of, you know, the activities have stopped for some time, but the root of desire is still there. If we perform bhakti properly, we actually develop different desires. We actually develop, you know, nice desires to serve Krishna. And it's something like, if the aparads are there, the roots remain, you know, because the weeds are there. And we're actually watering the weeds. What it means is that just like now, we've come to the end of summer, and if you look in the paddocks and what have you, you see all the dead grass, everywhere dead grass and dead weeds, everything is dead. But now we've had a couple of days of rain, you'll see it'll all come back to life, all green, because the roots are still there. So what happens is that if we don't get out the weeds, they can remain tiny, you know, covered over for many, many years. But with a certain combination of the modes of material nature and circumstances, it is like a big rain, and they can just shoot up very quickly, you know, like that. So it's very dangerous. Mm. Mm.
Mm.
Yes, wonderful devotee, Govinda Ghosh. Oh. He was a famous singer, for always singing the glories of the Lord and singing the glories of Krishna. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, if we're guilty of, you know, if we have some problem that in the past we have committed some Vaishnava aparad, and you want to cure that, he says the cure is to do the opposite. If you glorify sincerely the devotees of the Lord, that is a process by which, you know, of course you avoid further criticism, but if you glorify the devotees, it vanquishes, you know, more quickly the reactions to Vaishnava para. And this we can learn from Govinda Ghosh. Jai, all the Srila Prabhupada, Hare Krishna.